I want to thank the praise team and all of you who have put in work and for this, not only for this Christmas Eve service, but as our praise team here at Pine Drive. I was getting a little nostalgic down there as I was getting ready to come up here and preach, and it dawned on me that this will be my last Christmas service, Christmas Eve service, to preach as your pastor. And so it means quite a bit to me. And so I want you, if you have your Bibles with you tonight, to turn to the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2. And there is an outline there in your bulletin if you want to follow along with that. I want to talk to you tonight about a message that I really touched on this morning, in a message this morning, but I want to further draw that out tonight, the significance of Bethlehem, the significance of Bethlehem. It's there. We know the Christmas story. He came. He was born as a baby there in a manger, left heaven, and all the praises from the myriads of angels constantly worshiping him, and he came down here. Why did he do that? What's the significance of that? Well, I want to submit to you tonight that there are at least two really important significances, if that's a word that means, that should mean to you, of this one, about this one who I've been singing to. There's a story. I was running down the street, not far, but I was running down the street chasing the garbage man this past week, and I just wanted to give him a gift to see if you give your garbage man a gift, you won't have to replace your garbage can more than once or twice a year. And what I found with our garbage man is my garbage can will just automatically appear at my garage door after it was parked on the street. So it's good to give gifts to people. You're more blessed it's more blessed to give and to receive. But I was reading a story about what would you do, women, what would you do if you lost your wedding band? What if you were washing the dishes, or you were having your men wash the dishes, or however you do that, and you put your rings there on the counter or something, and it just fell down into the sink. What would you do? Well, this woman, her name was Colleen Dykeman, and she accidentally threw her wedding ring out in the garbage after she was cooking dinner on a Sunday evening, and she didn't realize it until the next morning when the garbage truck came and picked up the garbage. And by the time she realized it, she went out and the garbage truck was already gone. So she ran down the street after this garbage truck. And she chased that garbage truck down. Well, the garbage truck driver called his boss by the name of Edward Wiggins, who was the sanitation site crew leader for a town in Babylon. It's called Babylon's Department of Environmental Control. And his boss, Wiggins, had the driver stop immediately and search for that wedding ring. And so for 3 hours, the three men on the garbage truck searched through what they estimated to be about 6 tons of garbage for this wedding ring. And Dykeman said, in that moment, I thought, I'm not going to find it. It's just not there. It's impossible. But they searched for 4 hours, and they spotted the wedding ring in that garbage. And Dykeman said she was brought to tears. And Wiggins said, I got to be honest with you, ma'am. In 41 years I've been here, we've only been able to successfully recover lost items 3 times. Lost items, lost souls. We are lost souls. We were lost souls before Jesus Christ came searching for us, for you. Luke, in his gospel in the 19th chapter, verse 10, says, God comes to seek and to save the lost. And he sure, I don't know about you, but he sure had to dig in some garbage to find me. And this is what I believe that Christmas, the real significance in Christmas is all about. He came searching for you and he came searching for me. For those of us who were fallen, as I said this morning, we were all dead men. Those who have not received Jesus Christ, just like the premier of Israel said to Hamas after December the 7th, the attack. He said, every one who is a Hamas man is a dead man walking. And we have in this nation tonight, not counting the world, we have dead men walking and they don't know that they're dead. And Jesus Christ said, I have come to give you life. And so, praise God for that. I want to read, beginning in Luke chapter 2 here, a portion of the Christmas story. We know the Christmas story. You have heard it many times. But let me read a few verses, beginning in verse 8. And Luke records this, and he says, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Now, you've heard that a million times. If you're as old as I am, you've heard it over 50 times. But I want you to think about, they were out in that field. It was night. It was cold. In Israel, it's cold in December. And it was just quiet and beautiful stars that were shining in the sky. And he says, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Did you catch that? The Lord has made known to us what has happened in Bethlehem. And they made haste. They went and made haste in verse 16. That means they ran. Your version may say they ran and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known by the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Heavenly Father, take this familiar story, celebrated at this time of year, and speak to our hearts right where we are tonight, Lord. And God, I praise and thank you that you know exactly where we are tonight. And more importantly, you know what your plan is for each one of us and where you want us to allow you to take us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Silent night. We're going to sing Silent Night. Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright. You know, that was whispered by God back in Genesis. And it grew louder and louder as his prophets wrote his story. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. And that crescendo began to grow until in Bethlehem, it burst forth with angels coming to the shepherds and telling them that it has come, he has come. And he's over there in Bethlehem. And he's in a manger. Now it's very interesting how these two groups of people, if you will, that Luke writes about responded. It's very appropriate, applicable to how you respond or have responded, how I responded in my life. And it took me 34 years to respond the way Jesus wanted me to respond to. But they responded, and this voice grew louder and louder from heaven. I have come to bring peace and to bring life. Is there anything this world needs tonight more than peace? I don't think so. Is there anything you need in your heart right now, in your life, down there in your gut? Of the things that you're dealing with, the things that are going on, the things, the people, the circumstances, the diseases, all those pressures and things that come upon you. Wouldn't you just love to have peace tonight? God says, I have come to give you peace. And I've come to bring light into your life and light into this world. And that's not something that's just in Scripture. It's true. It's what God says. I want to do that because I created you. I made you. I saved you. If you will allow me to do that with my Son, Jesus Christ. I mean, this is God, the Creator, who, and sometimes is almost begging someone. Hear what I'm saying to you. It has been paid for. You never have to go to hell. You will go to heaven. You will be with me forever. It's guaranteed. My Son paid the cost. Why won't you? Doesn't it frustrate you when you've witnessed to somebody over and over again? And they say, well, I'll think about it. Or no, I'm not interested. Or well, I'm just not ready yet. Doesn't that frustrate? Doesn't that make you sad? When you know you don't have to do a thing other than ask Christ, help me to repent. You know, I often say, you know, if you want to receive Christ, repent. Well, sometimes we need help to repent. You know, that's the beauty of a church. You know, one of the consequences of COVID, as you know, is the churches were ordered by the governments to stop meeting. And so most of the churches did. But the consequences of that is that's not what God intended. When he called his church together, he called them together for fellowship. He called them together to take someone's hand and pray for them. He called them together to just walk up to someone who's deep in grief and in suffering and in pain and just stand there or sit there with them, not saying a word. But we know we're together here. We know we have each other. And one of the consequences is we are missing that in our churches today. It is not the same, and God bless you folks that are online. Some of you are online because you would give anything if you had the strength and the health to be here tonight, and I know that. But this is God's church. You are God's people, and he created us to come together for times such as this. In this case, for times to celebrate the birth of his one and only Son who gave it all so that you and I might have life without doing anything except asking Christ to come into my life and save me. And this is the Christmas story. What is it that God has to say to us? Well, there's two significant things that I want to mention. Number one, God made it significant. Why is this significant to you? Why should it be significant? Because God made it significant. God said, this is significant. I'm sending my Son right here with me, being worshipped by all these angels. I'm sending him to come down as a baby to put on human flesh. And then 33 years later to walk up that hill there in Jerusalem, 6 miles up the road, and let them beat him and crucify him and nail him to a cross. This is how much I love you. This is why it should be significant to you. And then, oh, by the way, that's not the end of the story. Because 3 days later, he's coming out of that grave. And he's going to be sitting at the right hand of God the Father, just as he is right now. And he's praying for you tonight. He's praying for every one of us tonight, because we're his children. This should be significant to us. The Messiah, the sovereign of the world, I don't know if you believe this or not. I know that it sounds good coming from a preacher. But there is nothing that happens to you that has not come through those nail-scarred hands of God. And then come through the nail-scarred hands of Jesus, who also is God. And then came through the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we have that question, why? Why, God? I talked about that this morning. Why, God? Why did it happen to him? Why did it happen to her so young? Why? Well, it's significant because God is a sovereign God, and he wants you to know that everything that happens to you is for your good, as Paul says, and it's for his glory. So what do we have to fear? Is this significant tonight? Yes, significant tonight to remember all these things, that this is really the purpose of celebrating the birth of the Christ child 2,000 years ago. Secondly, its significance of Bethlehem is that God's telling us to do something. Don't miss this. God is telling us, the world, you and me, to do something. And let me tell you why it's significant. Because when God tells us to do something, we better do something. And if we don't do something, that's significant. And I'm not being trite about this. I'm not being offhanded about this. I'm just telling you, when you pray and God leads you to something in a scripture, or God sends someone up to you to help you in some way, God wants you to do what he has asked you to do. And that is significant. In verse 16, I want you to see this here real quickly. Verse 16. Now, this is when the angels came. And the angels went away, it said in verse 15, into heaven. And the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem. And look at verse 16. And they went, meaning the shepherds, they ran. They went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph. God told them through the angels what had happened. And he said, go. And what was their response? They didn't sashay over there. They didn't walk over there. They ran over there to see what these angels had just told them. Now, reading on. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. What does that mean? It means the shepherds say, you should have seen what happened out here tonight. There were angels all around, and they told us the Christ child has been born over here in Bethlehem. And what was the second response of the people? The same response that so many people have. Be it Christmas Day, be it Easter, Resurrection Sunday, or be it any other Sunday that they may attend church. They wondered. Did you notice how that word was? W-O-N-D-E-R-E-D. They wondered. And there are people that are wondering their way past that last opportunity that Christ gives them to say, come and see the Christ child. Come and receive the Christ child. And this is huge. The shepherds heard it and they ran. The people heard it. They heard the birth and they just wondered. And this verse strikes me inside when I read this and think about this. Exactly what's heard every time you or a preacher or somebody tries to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody. And they wonder. Well, I wonder if this is real. I wonder. You can share it with them in the hospital. I've shared it with them in the hospital. With a man or woman, loved one dying, spouse dying, not a Christian. I want to tell you how bad it is. And many of you know this because some of you participated in this for almost 3 years. This church went out every Monday night after an hour of instruction. Three teams, normally 12 people each. We went over here to Bay Colony when Bay Colony was just exploding. And we knocked on doors for 3 years. I don't know, thousands. I don't know how many doors. You know how many people were saved in those 3 years by our team? 2 people. And these were the middle-aged people. The middle-aged people that were saying, not now. It is significant, God said, that I have come to give you life. And you remember this morning I said to give you abundant life, fulfilling life. That's the significance of it. And my plea is for anyone that's in the sound of this voice, or we may see this later on, or anyone you talk to or witness to, just tell them how easy it is to receive Jesus Christ. It was hard for him. It cost him his very life. When he was on the way to the cross, probably most people couldn't even recognize him because how badly beaten his face was. And remember, he could have called down 10,000 angels, but he said, no. My Father said there's no other way but to the cross. That's significant, again, when God tells us to do something. When God tells us to do something, there's no other way because that's his purpose and that's his way. How often have we heard the Christmas story? It's the most important decision that you who have received Christ and I have received Christ. It's the most important decision we have ever made. It's an important decision to who you're going to marry. Are you going to have children? Where are your children going to go to school? What job are you going to have? What's your career? That's important. But the most important decision that you'll ever make is where you're going to spend eternity. And we're all going to be resurrected, and we're all going to stand before Jesus Christ one day. Those who are lost are going to stand at the white throne judgment. Those of us who are saved are going to stand before Jesus Christ, and we're going to look in those eyes of beauty, and we're going to see those eyes of beauty. And we're going to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. If he were to say that to me tonight, I'd say, faithful servant, God, I've been struggling my whole life. I just want to be what you want me to be. God says, you're my child. I forgave you. I made you righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, my son. You're now pure. Imagine if you can, and perhaps we really can't. Imagine God born in a teenager's womb. God born in a teenager's womb. Imagine God now, really lying in a manger. Stinky, smelly manger. Imagine God lying in a manger. Imagine God running around the house as a 2 or 3 year old child up there in Nazareth. Can you imagine that? Imagine God growing up as a teenager. And then as a 20-year-old man, God, a 21-year-old man, and then a man who grew to be 33 years of age, and they killed him. A little baby that was down there just 33 years ago. You know, I forget a lot of things. And there's some things I don't remember about what I did or what happened to me 33 years ago. But I want to tell you, when an angel come, if an angel came and told me, and I went to see and saw that baby, and then I heard about Jesus through those 33 years and the ministry he was doing and miracles he was doing and the healing he was doing and the forgiving he was doing, I think that would be significant to me. And I think he would have my attention. He died on the cross for you and for me. He died in his humanity on the cross for you and for me. Oh God, Almighty God, who speaks from the pages of the Bible from Bethlehem, was clothed just like humanity, just like the skin that we have, cloaked in deity. And it was like he was saying, I have come to bring a piece of heaven to you. Enter the kingdom of God tonight, today, whenever it was that God asked you to do that. That's significant when God is asking you, who is seeking you, to save you. He doesn't want anything from you, but just allow him to save you. Put the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, inside of your heart. I used to be a, excuse me, back in my younger days, I used to be a heavy smoker. Smoked 2.5 pack cigarettes a day. I couldn't quit. Couldn't. So one day, God spoke to me and said, look what it's doing to your family. That's all the motivation I needed. Look what it's doing to your kids, to your wife, to your home, to your car. I said, God, I can't do this. God said, I can. He wasn't talking. We weren't talking back and forth to each other. I was talking to him, but he wasn't talking back to me. Not like that, but he was talking through Scripture. He was talking through other people. He was talking to through my wife and my children. Give it up, Dad. Give it up. And this is the way God operates. He wants to take you from where you are. And He, the Holy Spirit, wants to change you. He wants to give you a new heart. So that you can be and I can be what He created us to be. That is significance. Well, let me give you four things very quickly here. The significance of your response. It is significant if you refuse to let the troubles of this world rob you of the joy and the hope that Christmas brings to you. It is not unforgivable. It is a shame if you allow the troubles of the world to rob you of the Christmas joy. Joy to the world. You're part of the world. I'm part of the world. Don't let Satan do it. And Satan's had a field day. And a lot of people. But don't let him steal your joy. Because the one who is in you is stronger than the one who is trying to steal your joy. That poor carpenter with a teenage bride. Lowly shepherds. That's who God was using. Old Simeon, you remember Simeon? Simeon there that was in the temple? They said, I don't want to die until I see the Christ child. And Anna longed to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Christmas hope in the midst of troubles then. Christmas hope in the midst of troubles today. God uses people like you and me. Just like you and me. It's significant. Secondly, the response, your response to repent and ask Jesus Christ to forgive and save you is the guarantee of eternal life with Christ in heaven. I say that because that's what God says. Receive me and experience the kingdom of God. Not when you go to heaven, but you experience the kingdom of heaven right now. Thirdly, it is significant because when you receive Christ, you're called a child of God. I am a child of God. It's why I can say my Father, our Father, which art in heaven, because I'm His child. And that's significant. And let me just tell you, it's beyond my understanding why He would do that, why He would call me His child. He doesn't only call me His child, He calls me His heir. Me. You. That's who God came for. It's who God wants. And fourthly, it is significant if your response is to reject Jesus, to reject Him, because it's going to be painfully significant. And it doesn't have to be. We're going to light our candles. And it's a symbol of Christ coming. We're going to light our candles and we're going to stand and we're going to sing Silent Night and Holy Night. But I pray that whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or longer, or maybe you just received Christ as your Lord and Savior, wherever you are tonight in this life, there is something else that God can give, God can use you for, to do. And we're going to walk out of here tonight. We're going to light our candles. We're going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night. We're going to walk out of here, extinguish our candles. We're going to put in receptacles out there. We're going to celebrate Jesus Christ's birth. But how certain are you, how convinced are you that when you walk out those double doors out there into the real world, so to speak, the real physical world, that Jesus Christ is walking with you? He is literally in your heart walking with you. Would you pray with me as before we light our candles and sing Silent Night, a beautiful song? Heavenly Father, Lord, it's a cold world, it's a cruel world, it's an evil world. It's a world at war, literally at war tonight, especially in your homeland, Lord, one day where you're going to return. You were born in Bethlehem there, and you're going to come back, and you're going to stand on the Mount of Olives. Lord, you came in the midst of war to bring peace. God, bring peace to our hearts tonight. Lord, as we light our candles, the light of the world, let us bring light into darkness of people that we know, even darkness into churches, Lord, that need the light of Jesus Christ. Father, whatever it is, this is your invitation. And God, I pray that as we light our candles, as we sing this beautiful song, this hymn, if there's one person that has never received Christ, that they would just simply, right where they are, ask him to come into his life, their life right now. Jesus, help me to repent. I want you. I want to go to heaven. I need you, Father. I need you to help me. I cannot do this on my own. Save me, Lord. Father, I can't think of a better time to put a spiritual marker down on the eve of the birth of your Son than to receive Christ on that day. And so, Father, as we're singing that hymn, if there's somebody that wants to come forward and just say, it's me, it's me. Father, whatever it is, this is your invitation. We're going to join hands following the singing of this song. We're going to leave here and we're going to go into the world. God, it's my prayer. It's my prayer that we do not leave here the same way spiritually that we came. And I pray and ask these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen. Would you go ahead and light your candles by just turning the light? And let's all stand and sing this beautiful hymn.